Welcome to the Tom and Jerry Podcast.
Tom was the cat, Jerry was the mouse.
Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of the Tom and Jerry Podcast Show. I'll be your host, Jerry Martinez. We'll also be featuring Tom Parker in later episodes, thinking his thoughts on some of the UFC background. What I'll be doing in this is trying to stick to 30 to 1 hour increment episodes relating to UFC and MMA card breakdowns, as well as fight analysis and other MMA content, as well as other things I'm interested in, such as hip hop and other sports. In the first episode, I'll be talking to Brendan Blal, who features from The Bell MMA on Instagram. Please give that a follow and a like. We'll be talking about the card announcement for UFC 249, which is currently headlined by Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje. Hope you enjoy it. And the amazing beat that was created earlier on was from my friend Simon. He goes by Sai_beats on Instagram. So please check out his content there, as well as his beat tapes. They're amazing. I'm an old school hip hop fan, so I definitely like his genre, and I hope you like it. Thank you.
Jeremy.
Hey, bro. How are you, man? I can hear you.
Good. We're good now.
We're good? No, that's good, man. Good to have you.
Yeah, man. It's been good. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, for me, and I'm normally at the office, so I am working from home this week. So, yeah, just pretty much just chilling, doing my thing. Been a pretty slow week, but there's a lot of news, I guess, that's been happening. But what about you, man? What have you been up to, like, I guess, throughout the week? Same old or?
Yeah, same old, man. Just been working a lot. Haven't had the time to really relax or feel the sting of the coronavirus at the moment. So yeah, I'm doing all right. Everything's pretty normal.
That's cool, man. That's cool. But yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of good. I think the more we just do these in reps, like you said, I think it'll just build on the experience and then kind of the direction that things go. So I reckon we just kind of just roll with it. But yeah, I mean, like you messaged me during the week, 249, obviously the news, it's looking pretty good. I mean, for now, things can change tomorrow, but yeah, it looks like it's on. The card is back on. So yeah, man, I reckon top to bottom. What do you think about it?
Well, look, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit shocked that they had the government say, look, it's all good. Mm-hmm. So the Florida government came out and said, look, you're allowed to have sporting events on, but there are certain guidelines you'll have to follow. So I think the main sticking point is no crowds. Mm-hmm. After that, then there'll be obviously some more that probably won't be made aware. They won't be made aware to us, but you know, I suppose that's the only one. But I'm glad. I think it's good that they've managed to secure it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Florida must need the tourism. I'm assuming that's the only thing mm-hmm. that would make them say, let's go ahead. But three events we're getting now, so should be good.
Yeah, man, 100%. I think, like, if I think the way it's going to go, it's probably going to be similar to that Brazil fight night where they literally just had the minimum amount of people and then you just have, like, people hosting it. But I don't know. It's crazy. Like, even I read a couple of articles when Dana White was like, we're going to have people around and stuff, but they're just not going to be at the actual stadium, right? They'll just probably be watching it, or they can be as close as possible. Maybe they'll set up monitors, or I don't know. It'll be interesting the way they work it. But I don't know. It's crazy. Like, if I see the spectacle itself, I feel like I can watch things better when I'm looking at the screen. Like, I went to a live one when that first came to Sydney, and it was completely different. Like, I found myself actually sometimes looking at the screen because I could see into the cage, but the detail and the workings, I think it'll be an interesting experience. And I mean, the judges will be at the event, but yeah, what do you think is going to be the difference for people watching it, I guess?
Well, so I've been lucky enough to go to a few different live events. I went to 193 in Melbourne, Rousey home. I did 206 in Toronto. That had, I'm pretty sure Holloway fought on that one. Mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken.
I do remember you in the Holloway post, or it was a Holloway. It was either Holloway, because you had a photo with Holloway, but there was I know it was a massive event. I don't know if it was Holloway or
that was UFC 206.
Yeah.
I went to obviously UFC Auckland recently. I also did UFC. Excuse me, I'll just throw that on silent.
That's okay.
I did UFC 234, so I got to see Adesanya and Silva. And then I watched the UFC Brazil card, you know, there with no crowd. So I've been lucky enough to see the different kinds of events, and I'm looking forward to the no crowd thing again. Mm-hmm. You know, you could really hear the impact of every strike. When they hit the canvas, it was all good. You could hear the instruction from the corners. Mm-hmm. And for a fight fan like myself, I think it's great. I have no issues with crowd, no crowd, or, you know, whatever it is they're going to do. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I think it'll be an experience, especially considering how many people are probably going to tune into this just based on the fact that, hey, the UFC has been trying to do this thing that no one else is doing, and now they're doing it. Let's just see.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a good introduction to the sport for some people. I think that some people will say it's boring just because there's no energy to feed off from the crowd that you can hear. But,
yeah,
you know, I think for guys like you or me, it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, no, 100%. I definitely agree. I mean, like, from a fan perspective, I think they're going to get a better experience. I mean, I'm used to watching things, you know, looking at a screen. I've obviously seen a couple of different fights, but in terms of, I guess, on the fighters themselves, like, obviously we're going to get to the card, but even if I just take a quick peek, and it's probably be good to go from the main, a couple of prelims, but I think it's going to feed to some of the people that get stage fright. Like, a good big example is, I think, the Cowboy. Like, I feel like fighters like him and other people, they crumble under pressure, and you've seen that. So I think it's going to play to some people's favors. Some people need the crowd, and some people get like shell shocked. So I think it's going to be interesting for the fighters as well.
For sure. I think that's an interesting point, considering you've got someone like Cowboy who's come out and said he gets really nervous before fights. You know, he's thrown up a couple of times, I think he said.
Mm.
And then they get into the cage and everything sort of goes away once the fight kicks on. Mm. But then you've got guys like Jeremy Stephens who, for my mind, that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for them.
Mm.
They're not going to have that crowd egging them on to push forward.
Or the chaos.
It might force guys like that to be a little bit more calculated and maybe a little bit more patient, for lack of a better word. But I think as much as fighters might want to say that, oh, they don't care about crowd, no crowd, I don't think that it's as simple as that. But I believe that they'll only know that once they get in the cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
I think more so it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun seeing the commentary team. Now, they said that Rogan's going to. So if you've got Rogan, DC, Anik, Cruz is obviously fighting, so he won't be doing it. Mm-hmm. But if that's the team they go with, I mean, we're going to hear everything from them. They're going to be a lot more technical, a lot more dialed in, going to be focused a lot better. So I'm excited to see what they pull.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too, 100%. And I mean, like, hopefully, I mean, it's the age-old question of the judging, but hopefully the judges won't be swayed, especially because if you hear crowds screaming, people get swayed so easily. So I'm hoping the judges themselves will be able to judge better and at least make it a little bit, because I know that's always a pain point for the event. So, yeah, man. Well, I mean, like, why don't we kick it off, like, with the main event? So with Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje for the interim lightweight title, how do you think their styles match up, I guess, overall?
Look, I think we touched on it a little bit last week, but I think the fight itself, with the extra time now to prepare, although I did hear today that Gaethje wasn't made aware that he was actually fighting on the 9th. He came out and said
like that months later, or he was just like, oh, I've just been eating.
Well, yeah, I mean, he must have. The guy likes to eat. He said before, so... but anyway, sorry, back to the main point. I think now we've got a little bit of extra time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tony's just made weight and now he's got 2 weeks to make it again. What impact is that going to have?
Yes, that's a good point.
I don't think that it's going to affect him too much cardio-wise because he's already working at such a high level.
Mm.
But I think it gives Gaethje a little bit more time to sort of work out what's going on here. Right, I got Tony Ferguson, he's just made weight. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what he brings usually. How's that going to factor in? Right, I've got to do my work. What am I going to do? Right, I'm going to hammer the leg kicks. We're going to pressure him early. He likes to come forward. I like to come forward. Let's meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see either guy taking that back step until cardio becomes an issue. But, you know, experience would suggest that Gagey will be the one to fold cardio wise.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to see is you're going to see both guys come out, start throwing leather. Tony's going to be getting in nice and close. He'll try and clinch up knees, elbows, usual.
Yeah.
Gagey's going to use those leg kicks,
over
try and keep him on the outside, force him to try and wrestle.
Yeah.
And then we see, I think it'll be a late finish. The more I've been thinking about it, the more I think we're looking at a third or fourth round.
Yeah.
And I don't think I think it's unlikely to be a submission, but a TKO or a KO for Gagey.
Oh, okay, cool. Yep, that's cool. Yeah. I know my original was to have Gagey like have a early stoppage one or two, but I could see that happening. I mean, to kind of complement your points for what you said before, I can obviously see Gagey using his like, you know, waging war style like Tony Ferguson, but I think you're right. I think with the more time he's had to prepare, I think he's still going to try to obviously blow his load in those couple of first rounds. But I actually think, look, Tony Ferguson, when I look at his weight in between fights, he's a big guy. I think he can get as big as like 200 pounds walk around weight. So for him just to make weight, I think Gagey is probably going to be in a good spot where when they're both going to come in on fight night, I think they'll be pretty similar, where if they both had full camps, I think Tony will be the guy that's actually a bigger guy. But, you know, with Gagey just making him to weight, I think this actually plays into Justin's game plan for his style. So I actually agree with you. I think Justin, if I'd not sit on the fence, I still think Justin will win via finish. But it's interesting you said three or four. I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think he'll get the win on that one. Yeah.
I just think, you know, we've seen Tony, like his last fight, if I remember correctly, that first round was what we expected. He's sort of plodding along, waiting, throwing these strikes, just getting comfortable. But then he gets a little bit hittable as he's coming in.
Yes.
And I don't think that you have that opportunity or that the margin for error in doing that with someone like Justin Gagey is very, very small.
Yeah.
So, you know, is he going to get a little bit trigger happy? Is he going to come in and, you know, Gagey hits him with a low kick, goes to, you know, faints for a second one and then comes over the top with something? Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, then there's also the risk that we thought about with the Khabib fight. You know, if Tony takes those, you know, freaking knives that he's got for elbows and cuts someone up, you know, we could see a fight over in two rounds.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%.
So, I mean, who,
100%. I definitely agree, man. I think it's going to be a finish either way. When I say no way it's going to go the distance, obviously there's going to be that percentage, but I don't think that's going to happen. If I had to make a basketball statement, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah. I think there's going to be a finish there. And obviously, we're going to be complimenting. I'm actually, look, normally it's just really highlighted to me. Like, I either love the main or the co-main. But this is a really, really good matchup, I think. And I'm actually, I'm really, really G'd for this bantamweight title bout, man. I actually didn't think Cruz was going to get the shot. I'm happy he did. But, yeah, what do you think about him getting the shot against Cejudo? And, like, do you think Cejudo's ready for Cruz or even the vice versa? Do you think Cruz is ready for an actual title fight?
See, it's interesting you say that about Cruz at the end there, because it's kind of throwing me off a little bit. Like, look, I don't have a problem with Cruz getting the title shot.
Yeah.
Only because they were going to give it to Aldo.
Mm.
And as much as I love Aldo, I've been a fan of him for years, I just don't think that, you know, you might, like, in my eyes, he beat Marlon. He won that fight.
Yeah, I agree.
But the judges scored it for Marlon. I mean,
yeah, it is what it is, right? You know, like he lose the fight.
Yeah, he lost the fight. So how do you then say you get a title shot? Like, sure, Aldo's done amazing things, and maybe they're just trying to push him along and get him into the division. But a title shot isn't the answer. If they had said, okay, no, Marlon won the fight, I don't have a problem with that decision. Everyone should get over it. Marlon won. Then we could be sitting here having a different discussion completely. They could have gone with Aljo. They could have gone with Peter Yan. You know, they could have gone with the Marlon rematch for Cejudo. But, you know, to go from Aldo, who lost the fight, his only fight at bantamweight, to then Dominic Cruz, who did he fight last?
I'm pretty sure his last fight was either he's lost to Cody Garbrandt or I think it might have been that because remember he went on a tear when he just came back. He beat a Japanese dude. I forgot his name. He was pretty highly ranked. That's the one. And then he obviously beat Dillashaw. And then I don't know if he had Faber in the middle of that. And then the Cody Garbrandt was the one that obviously threw him off. And then he got injured again on his return. So he hasn't returned since Garbrandt, if my memory serves me correctly. So
right.
Shell for what, man? Is that nearly 3 years or I don't know. Is that it's at least two, right? Because Garbrandt hasn't had the belt for a couple of years. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what do you do with that? I mean, look, they've booked Dominic Cruz for the title shot. I love watching the guy fight. Mm-hmm. I love listening to him commentate just as much.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how Cejudo deals with that, especially that movement. Now, you go back and you look at Cejudo just after the Benavidez fight, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out and he's changed his stance and he's just
full karate.
He's switching things around. So everything's moving a bit differently.
Yeah.
But you're doing that now, and I think you mentioned it, with a guy who's known specifically for his footwork.
Yes, yes.
A guy who sort of has forced guys to reinvent, you know, how... Well, basically, he's forced the sport to evolve just because of his footwork.
Well, he's given the rub to everyone. The DJs... The Dillashaws, everyone that he's beaten, mm-hmm. or even them even trying to come up, they're like, oh man, I need the footwork. I need the switch hitting. Who do I look to?
Mm-hmm.
And even Cruz says that in all his press conferences, like, you're looking at a guy that you're trying to emulate. So good luck with that. And it's paid off every single time, except for the Garbrandt fight, which I don't know. Like, you can only ask for Cruz so much to just come back over many layoffs. So yeah, I think he definitely does deserve it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just, when I look at this fight, I love Cruz and I love him coming back, but I just want to see him get tested first before he gets this fight, because I feel like Cejudo has had not the tough. Oh, yeah, you know what? He's had probably equal amount of competition as Cruz, I think, in the last couple of years. Yeah, he had the DJ, you know, he had Marlon Moraes, but I feel like he's been battle tested to the point that he's ready for a title fight. I don't know if I think Cruz needs another fight, in my opinion. I think he's going to be tricky when he moves, but I don't know. I think maybe Cejudo might have the recipe to at least win a fight. I don't know if it's going to be exciting, but you might just see a pressure fight the whole time. Similar to like a DJ. He was just outpointing him. You could have even given DJ that fight, but I agree with that decision. So I'm actually going to say Cejudo wins via unanimous decision.
Like you I think it's interesting because if you go back and you look at Cejudo's last fight versus Marlon...
He was getting pieced up? Or
Marlon, pardon?
He was getting pieced up, or you feel like he couldn't cope with something very different to a traditional fighter? Because Marlon fights very differently. Like, yes, he's a traditional Muay Thai fighter, but he's got everything. Like, he can rest. He doesn't use wrestling, but he can wrestle. He can knock you out.
He's a mixed martial arts.
Yeah. He's well-rounded.
I feel like Marlon lost that fight. Not so much, like...
Mentally?
As much as you could say... Well, it just seemed odd to me that something made him go away from what was working. Mm. And it was so obvious. I remember watching the fight and thinking, what are you doing? You're winning the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to switch it up now? Because that allowed Cejudo to work it out and then obviously win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cruz is going to do that. So we're looking at now, Cejudo comes out, he starches TJ.
Yeah.
Then he comes out and he starches Marlon.
And he thinks he's a knockout artist. Like, he thinks, I can just strike with the best. Similar to like a Rousey. You know, Rousey just had that back in that day when no one really could strike. She's like, okay, I knocked out this chick. I finished this chick. I can just knock out anyone. Maybe, is that what you're saying? You think Henry has that false prophet of I can strike with the best or I can hang with anyone?
Not so much that. I just think it's that Dominic's not going to let him. Like, it's already hard enough to work out how to fight Dom.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and then you've got him in a situation now where he's coming back. Dominic does not like this dude at all. You can just tell he thinks he's the worst.
Yeah.
So he's going to come out. He's going to be ready to fight. And I don't think that Cejudo's built to deal with Cruz. Now, I could be wrong because he's proved us wrong 3 times now.
Mm.
So who knows what happens. But I think Cruz gets it done. And I think Cruz makes him look a little bit silly.
So you think it's going to be like a masterful thing? Like he just, you know, he does his Matrix the whole like fight, or you think he'll get a finish on this one?
Well, I'll put it this way. It took Dominic Cruz in the form of Cody Garbrandt to beat Dominic Cruz. You know, like Cody had to beat him at his own game. I don't think Cejudo's going to do that. I don't think he can do that.
Yeah.
And I think if he tries to, Cruz will say, stay in your lane, buddy. You're not on this level. And then we're going to see what happens with Cejudo after that. I mean, where does he go?
Yeah, I don't think he wants to make that cut. I don't think he's built for... Like, yeah, he makes 125, but there's no way he's... Like, you see early in his career, he was struggling to make weight in, like, his first three or four fights. So I don't think he wants to put his body through that again. He'll either probably stay at bantamweight.
And that's fair, you know. I hate seeing these... Like, in the last couple of years, I've started to pay real attention to what these fighters look like on the scales. And I hate what it does to them. I understand the necessity of it, and I'm not going to be one of these guys that sits here and says, oh, you know, weight cutting should be banned and blah, blah, blah. But I think there should be a better way to do it. And I would like to see some of these guys not have to, you know, take themselves halfway to death to make a fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever Cejudo does after this, I don't think that Cruz is going to make it easy to come to that decision. So I'm going to go with Cruz by a unanimous decision.
This isn't interesting. No, that's good. That's good. I like that. And again, I think like we touched on this before, but on last week, but you know, the Francis Ngannou and Rozenstruik fight, like that again, I'll repeat it, but that could be a main event on a fight night itself. It doesn't. This card to me is pretty stacked, man. I'm pretty happy if this goes to plan. This is crazy. I think this is going to be a finish. And, you know, I'll say it off the bat, I think Ngannou's just going to knock this guy out. I don't think it's one of those, he's going to knock him out. But I just feel like Ngannou is ready for all of these types of comers. I think it's almost like, is he ready for a Miocic or a DC? Probably not, if I'm being honest. But I think he has the ability to at least beat these contenders for the heavyweight division. Like, Rozenstruik is a dangerous fighter. I'm not going to put anyone away and say they're rubbish, but... I mean, he was getting beaten pretty easily against Overeem. Like, he was piecing him up, and then, you know, he got knocked out in like the final seconds of the fight. So I don't know. What's your thoughts? I definitely just think if I had to make a call, it's going to be Francis KO. One, he's going to call his shot, and if Miocic and DC don't fight, he's just going to fight. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think we've got an interesting situation here where you've got there's a few heavyweights on this card. But I think what ends up happening is this fight isn't as exciting as we're going to hope it's going to be. You got two guys with a hell of a lot of power. One of them has a little bit more experience, especially with more well-rounded guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Ngannou went five rounds in a loss with Stipe, learned some shit, came back, went on a tear. Jair is not going to sit there and try and wrestle him and try and do all that nonsense. He's going to try and put his hands on him and try and put him away. And from what I've seen, his power looks like it could match Francis's. However, this is going to be the fight where Francis has to come out and he has to say, look, I am actually a much more complete mixed martial artist than I was during the Stipe fight. I know how to fight smart. I know how to do this and I know how to do that. The interesting part is that Rozenstruik just came off the fight with Overeem and waited till the last 40 seconds to catch him properly and, you know, gave him that split in his face. So what's going to happen here? We're going to have these two guys come in and they're both a little bit tentative and they just sort of bounce around. Maybe not to the extent... Maybe not like the fight.
Don't say that. That doesn't happen.
No, I don't think it'll be that. But I think it's just going to be... a lot of leather getting thrown, and by the third round, it might not look like it's that great of a fight. I think if it goes to a decision, I think Francis will get it. But for him for Francis to have an easy night, he's going to need to actually show his IQ.
Yeah,
and I think he's got it. I think he has it there.
I've seen him. I don't know if you remember Francis's early career, but even in the UFC, I think in his first fight or two, he actually did. I mean, it was terrible technique, but he just went in for power doubles. Like, he actually tried to take people down and, you know, ground and pound. So I don't think I've ever seen him do that after his maybe fourth or fifth fight. So maybe you're right. Maybe he employs the MMA way of fighting rather than, you know, I'm a boxer in an MMA world. I just do what I can do, which is what he's been doing. Yeah, he can kick, but maybe he tries to employ that. But I think he's a heavy favorite. He'd definitely be a heavy favorite on that odds.
He would be. He would be. You know, clearly, Rozenstruik had a bit of an issue with Overeem being the much bigger fighter and whatnot. You know, Francis is huge. He's not... This is a guy who's as freaking wide as he is tall. He's a giant dude.
He's so a legitimate heavyweight. He needs a cut to get to the limit. It's,
You know, I don't know what Rozenstruik weighed in at, but he didn't look like he weighed in any more than, say, 240. I'm not too sure. I can't recall, but he doesn't look as big, but he just... Man, do you remember when he dropped... Oh, I can't remember who it was, but he dropped someone with the jab.
No. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one that got into the last fight.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. See, so like he's doing things like that. The interesting thing is, can Francis get hit? You know, I mean, he went five rounds getting tapped a lot by Stipe, and, you know, what happens if someone lands clean who can match his power?
Yeah, that's true. You know,
does he have a little bit of Bob Sapp in him where he's not going to like it? He sort of curls up a bit, or does he turn into a bit of a scary dude and just comes forward again? Who knows?
Yeah, but no, that's a good point. That's a good point. I haven't seen him be cracked. He's been peppered and he's been kind of outworked by like a Miocic, but I don't think he's actually been to the point where he's been visibly stunned. Obviously everyone gets stunned in their fights, but like you've never seen him actually get cracked. And then he has that moment of what he does. He, you know, fight or flight. So that's an interesting point too. Okay. So you think it's going to go to decision? What do you think? You think either way
I mean, again, we haven't seen much from Rozenstruik.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, you know, who knows what he's going to bring forward this time. But early prediction is Francis will take this one. He'll take a decision. And we're going to be sitting here in the same exact spot saying, what do we do with Francis Ngannou next?
Yeah, man. Look, I don't know. Like, if I look at the heavyweight title picture, of course they're trying to give the swan song to Cormier and just say, look, let him get the belt one more time. But I think Francis is right. Him and Lewis and other people just said, just do the interim belt. I think that's the way to go. If they don't fight in the next couple of months, I think that's what they just do. Because Francis has waited long enough. And I think, I think the heavyweight picture needs to either move on or have that. Like every other weight class has that, right? So I think we just have an interim fight for the next heavyweight bout. That's what I think.
Well, look, you know, I think heavyweight's exciting again. I think there's a couple of the old guys in there. There's a couple of young guys coming up. There was someone who fought at UFC Auckland. What was his name? De Lima, I think it was. He fought Ben Sassoli.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. That guy is an absolute monster. And it won't take him long to get his name up there. I can't remember if the Frenchman, Cyril Gane, I think it is. I'm pretty sure he's a heavyweight. He could be a light heavyweight, but I'm not too sure. But now he's another big dude you could throw in there with some very, very high-level striking. Mm-hmm. Seems to be pretty good at MMA as a whole. So who knows? But I'm on board with the interim title. If you don't do it this time, and let's say Francis wins, what do you do? DC's not going to take him.
No. Stipe, he said that openly.
Yeah, exactly. So again, like I said, we're going to end up in this spot where we're sitting here saying, what do we do with Francis Ngannou?
Yeah. Now he's a patient guy and he's always been the company man. I don't think he puts on a front, but he's always like, I will do everything for the company, but he must be frustrated with that. It doesn't show in his performances. He always does the job, but yeah, I just hope they give this guy a title shot. Like, I think he definitely deserves it. He's probably the outright person that deserves it right now. Like, yeah, there's a lot of exciting heavyweights, but I don't think they've built the currency that he has. Do you know what I mean? Like, after he lost, he didn't reinvent himself, but he's just killed everyone else that he's fought. So I think he deserves the next shot, whether it be an interim or an actual title shot. So interesting.
Well, look, I mean, talking about that sort of thing, what do you have to do? Because Francis Ngannou is one, I think, what is it, three now? Is it three now?
Yeah. He's put together a string. Yeah, it's been a couple. Yeah. It's been a couple. He had that rematch. Who was that rematch he had right. with? That was crazy because I actually was scared for him in that fight. I thought, oh,
Blades.
Yeah, I was like, Blades is actually on a tear. See, he was the other guy. Yeah. It was either Blades or Ngannou for me, and I was like, oh, if Blades, you know, does what he does, he should get the next shot because he's well rounded. Yeah. He went angry mode. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, all right. He's got a bit of attitude, and then, but then lightning struck twice, right?
That was pretty crazy. That's exactly right. So, you know, you got Francis doing those things, and then you've got guys like Romero and Aldo getting title shots, and now Dominic Cruz getting title shots. So the UFC is in a bit of a it's in a bit of a mess at the moment regarding title shots. Hopefully this, it's one thing I think the whole coronavirus situation is going to bring out. It's going to bring out a situation where the UFC needs to say, okay, this guy is the clear-cut contender. He's next. After that is this guy.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have such a backlog of fights. Mm-hmm. So that'll be some good that comes from it, hopefully.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think they keep doing it like that because the more they can stack things, they have better contingency plans. So, yeah, I hope it actually just goes to plan. And I mean, the last couple of fights on the main card, because even the prelim itself was pretty good, but the last couple of fights on the main card, you got Jeremy Stephens versus Calvin Cato. And I mean, I think we said it again, but, you know, just to reiterate, Cato is, to me, the dark horse of the division. It's very overused term, but I think, you know, with enough wins, he should at least get that rematch with Zabit or, you know, climb up the rankings. So, if I had to make an early prediction, I love Jeremy Stephens. He's actually one of my legacy fighters where, like, not just because we have the same first name, but I love his style and he'll always have that ability to finish. But I don't know. I think it's going to be the changing of the guard. Calvin, to me, when I look at them stylistically, he's a lot more technical than Jeremy Stephens. Jeremy Stephens probably has more firepower, but Calvin is, he uses his reach and he's a long guy, same as Stephens, but he uses his reach to a T. You see the way he measures his cross. It's always like, you know, the full length of the cross. He doesn't really wing too much. So I think it's going to be Calvin, I don't know, TKO round three, like by you know, punches or strikes with the fist. That's what I think is going to happen. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, right. I've got a love-hate relationship with Jeremy Stephens. Every time I've backed him, he's come up short.
Yeah.
And every time I pick against him, he wins. So I'm a little bit frustrated with him. But in saying that, I love watching him fight.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
When he knocked out Josh Emmett, I believe it was.
That's him. You know, I kept forgetting his name. I kept forgetting Josh Emmett's name because when I tried doing a trial of this, I was like, and he knocked out, and I was like, who's the guy with that alien? I keep forgetting it. And then when you said, I was like, that's it, Emmett. Yeah. See, even he fell off the radar, right? All these guys, you can crush their name with a knockout like that. Like, you haven't heard of Emmett in a while since then, right? Like,
I'm not sure. I could have sworn he had a fight booked, but after. Was it two? Did he suffer two knockout losses?
Oh,
or was it just the Jeremy?
Was it Lamas or did he knock out Lamas? No, I just remember him being in a couple of wars, like back to back. Emmett was.
Well, because he was on that stage where they were talking about him, and you know, in the title race, but you know, he was knocking dudes out left and right.
He was
killing. But excuse for a second, I'll just pull up his record here because
bring it up.
It's. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, there you go. He was on he was winning a bunch of fights. I mean, he's 15-2, and in his last five, he's 4-1.
Yeah.
So he had the loss to Jeremy Stephens, and that was the big one. And then he floored Michael Johnson and Mirsad Bektic. So he's doing well since that loss to Stephens.
Mm.
But. You know, Stephens himself, I'll just pull up his, you know, he's surprisingly, he's quite active for someone who's who's such a veteran, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, since.
Yeah. He wants to fight every other week. Like, he's one of those guys that just wants to be in. To finish off on Emmett, I think him and Paulo Costa are the same manager, man. Like, they are both juiced to the gills. I'm just going to put that out there. I think Emmett is on the same. Recipe.
Really?
I don't know. I just look. I'm not afraid to kind of just see it how I like call it how I see it, but I don't know. Yeah. I think yeah, just seeing his performances, I think he was on it, maybe cycling off, but yeah, I think Emmett was on the juice. Just looking at his performances, yeah. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Interesting.
I think
so. Oh, fair enough, man. Fair enough. Let him know. But no, so back to Stevens.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on. He's lost. But he's got 3 losses and 1 no contest, and then the win over Emmett.
I know, it's so checkered as it is, right?
Yeah,
the Edgar fight annoyed me, man. That Edgar fight with him, like, I was pulling for Stevens. I love them both equally, but I was like, little heathen's going to come back. Like, I think Edgar's done, even though Edgar's one of my favorite fighters. Like, Stevens is going to pour it on. Remember when Jeremy Stevens lost to Edgar, I was like, he really needed that win, I think. Like, he was building.
Oh, yeah, way back.
Frank Edgar. Yeah, yeah. I just remember that with him, just to kind of allude when, you know, you'd back him and then he'd lose and then you wouldn't back him and then he'd knock out Emmett. So,
yeah,
they have a bit of a checkered past.
Well, I mean, looking at it now, right, he's got that loss to Aldo, the loss to Zabit. And then, I mean, the loss to Zabit, I don't really put much stock in it. He's just, I don't know, I'm still trying to work the guy out, to be honest with you. He's fun to watch, but I don't know what he's doing half the time.
Yeah, I know, man. He reminds me of a Russian, not a Russian, but like a Dazikstan Holloway. Like, he's a tall, lanky, he does funky things, but he does like really crazy movements, probably even more crazy than Holloway in a sense of, it's not switch hitting, but he does a lot of kicks. He's got a lot of dexterity in his legs. He does a lot of things that I don't think his body type not should do, but would normally do in a fight. So, yeah.
Look, he definitely doesn't look like a fighter. That's for damn sure. But yeah, then you see him fight and whatever he's doing. I mean, only the Calvin Cato fight, like late in that fight. It's the only time I've really seen him not look like he was in control. So, you know, if it broke, then fix it. But so, yeah, back to Jeremy Stevens. So, you lost to Aldo, lost to Zabit, no contest with Yair, and then he lost to Yair. So,
that was lackluster to me, man. It didn't even go to what it should be. I think that should have been.
Look, I think if they had fought that first time and gotten through it, we would have seen a much different fight. But you know, all the air had gone out of it by the time we got to the rematch. So you know, it was what it was. Yair won it, so good for him. But
yeah,
I don't know. Jeremy Stevens is that guy. If he wants to let people know, hey, I'm still here. I'm still a little heathen, and I'm still pushing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to do something special, especially with a guy like Calvin Cater, because Cater here, this is the big fight that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be ranking-wise, but...
He's got the name.
You know, he's been doing his work. Looking at his record now, he's got a win over Andre Feely. Shane Burgos might not be known to many people, but he's a tough son of a gun. He's a good, strong fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Calvin's got a win over Ricardo Lamas before his last loss to Zabit. You know, like we said, another couple of rounds in that Zabit fight and Cater probably wins it.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Both guys have a lot to gain from this fight. But I think the pressure might get a little bit to Stevens. You know, he's got the young guy coming up. He's got so many fights. It shouldn't, but coming off those last 4 fights that he's had, you know, 3 losses, 1 no contest, pressure's coming. And Calvin Cater, I mean, he's got to be feeling pretty confident. Zabit is the featherweight boogeyman. He had impressed. He was concerning him. So,
yeah.
Look, I think it's probably going to be one of the better fights on the card. And it's probably one that I'll tell everyone around me, hey, look, just quiet. I want to watch this and see what happens.
Yeah, man. No, 100%. So, I mean, like, yeah. So, do you think, I guess, just to kind of end off on it, you think Calvin gets it done? You think he gets it done, like, either a decision or you think he just gets the win?
I'm just going to say I'm going to go with Cater to get the win.
Yeah.
I don't know how it'll happen because I just don't know what Jeremy said to something yet. So,
yep.
We'll see. But I think I'll be taking Cater.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. I think like I said earlier, I think it's going to be a late finish. I think Calvin will get it done. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. Like, I know we're going to get to Cowboy later down the track, but I feel like him and Cowboy, it's like, and is it Matt Brown? I call them, if you had a boss in a video game, you need to know, it's the body. Like, for them, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Their abilities, when they get finished, like, you've seen Stevens fights, Cowboy. Like, I think for some reason, they get really hurt when they get hit in that right spot. But that's been most of their losses, even his losses. Like, you know, he crumbled with the idea. He crumbled with the, like, that seems to be his kryptonite. So people know about it now, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, listen, I mean, I think for Jeremy Stephens, when Aldo hit into that body that first time and then backed him up, I think everyone went, oh, that's what you do now. Got it.
Yeah.
Not to mention, everyone's probably running high off the Stipe win over DC. You know, he started going to the body and got him a title, so
why
not for anyone else?
Yeah, no.
So who knows what's going to happen? Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I guess, to end the main card, because I think we should get to prelims as well, but I don't know. I think I can see what the company's trying to do with Greg Hardy, but I don't know. I don't think he's deserving of this spot, but whatever they're putting it. So they're running with the show. I think he gets it done against, I'll be honest, I don't know anything about De Castro. But I think the Greg Hardy story of they're building him up and he's going to be a contender eventually. But I'd never really seen him get properly tested. Like Volkan put him in his place. Everyone's saying, oh, he did well against it. Just because you survive against someone, I don't think makes you do well. That's my thing. I think Greg Hardy gets it done, but I don't think this is going to be that interesting. What are your thoughts? Or do you know more about De Castro? That we should know about.
I've just pulled up De Castro's record here. He's only had one fight in the UFC, I'm pretty sure, because he came off the Contender Series.
Yeah.
And it says here he fought an Aussie, fought Justin Taffer.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I took De Castro to win that fight.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken. But look, I think De Castro, from what I can see now, he's 6-0. Greg Hardy's 5-2. What do we know about Greg Hardy that we didn't know before the Volkov fight? Yeah. I mean, we knew he's not really a mixed martial artist at the moment. I don't mean that to be disrespectful. It's just in the UFC heavyweight division, I don't think he's very high up there on the skill list for now. He did look... I didn't think he was going to go a full fight with Volkov. I thought Volkov was going to, you know, just work him out real quick. But he didn't, and he went the rounds, and he did look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
He did look like he was moving a lot more fluid and he seemed to be stringing some things together. But obviously, that's the difference between the elite level talent and someone like Greg Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think De Castro puts him away. I think when you get these guys like you get someone like Greg Hardy in there, and that, you know, for sure he's a high level athlete. He's come from the NFL, he was successful over there. I try not to think too much about his out of the cage nonsense.
Me too. I don't bring that.
I want to talk about the fighting, right? So disregarding all that, Greg Hardy's learning how to fight.
Yep.
De Castro seems to know how to fight pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Hardy's going to be one to take him down. He's going to stand there. He's going to put his ego in front of him. He's going to stand there and throw leather. But I think De Castro just has that edge over him. So I'm going to go with De Castro putting him away in a second.
That's cool, man. I'd love to see that. I don't know much about him. But yeah, looking at the pick, like, he kind of looks like a Mexican, like Mark Hunt type of thing going on there. He's kind of got like a, I don't know what his background is. Is it Mexican or?
Is he Cuban or something?
Maybe Cuban? Okay.
I can't actually see. Oh, it says he's from Cape Verde. So I'm not sure where that is.
All right.
The high school education is falling through there. So, look, man, if you don't mind, I just want to draw attention to something on the prelims.
Yes, please. I just clicked on it now. Please.
You know, all things considered, that entire prelim card.
That's a whole card, man. Own card.
Yeah, it's solid. I mean, you. Any of the – there's four fights on there, I think, the headline a fight night in, you know, Saskatchewan, Canada. You know, just a small card.
Mm.
But those guys would get treated to something. So, you know, I mean, I keep going back to Vicente Luque and Nico Price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that fight for me there's some big names on that prelim card, but that fight for me is the one to watch on the prelims.
Oh, he definitely, Vicente definitely proved himself against, was it Wonderboy? Was that his last main fight? Was it Wonderboy or was it Platinum? He had a high profile fight, Vicente Luque, and I think Wonderboy at the end of it was like, he was like, man, he can actually fight. Like, he was not afraid. And I feel Wonderboy was saying in the post interview, was like, oh, I could definitely see him as a, you know, up and comer contender.
Yeah.
I think
well, looking at it, I mean,
yeah, was it Wonderboy?
Yeah, it was Wonderboy last.
Yeah.
But again, Wonderboy sort of showed us, hey, listen, you know, I'm still here.
Yeah,
don't forget about me.
Yeah.
But I think Luque was calling for a bigger fight too, and he got it, and he didn't look necessarily bad. I just think Wonderboy looked great. So
yes, yeah.
I don't put too much in it. The fight with Mike Perry was great. So I'm trying not to put too much stock into the records going into this just because their first fight was great. I think they fought in, it would have been maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer than that.
Mm-hmm. Who got it done then? Because I don't remember the fight. Was it Nico or was it Vicente? Like, how did it actually play out?
Nico won. I'm just looking at it now. Okay. He got submitted by something called a Bravo choke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before, man. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think coming off it, I mean, looking at Nico Price's, like, his last 5 years, you know, went to Randy Brown, lost to Razak Al-Hassan, beat Tim Means, lost to Jeff Neal, beat James Vick. So he seems to be one of those guys that goes, oh, yeah, big win, oh, good win. Comes up against someone who's maybe a bit more skilled, loses. Hmm. Comes up against a big veteran, strong veteran in Tim Means, gets it done. Then comes up against an up-and-comer like Jeff Neal, now old Hands of Steel over there, loses that and then gets a win against James Vick, who, you know, I mean, that's the story for another day, but he's on the decline, it seems.
Yeah, man, he was going to be another
dark horse of the division. I mean, even with wins and losses, yeah. You know, just with all these wins and losses for both Vicente and Nico, they haven't looked bad. They've been exciting. I mean, I became a fan of Luque in the loss to Wonderboy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nico Price, he's hell exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Just fun to watch. Isn't scared to throw up anything off his back. I mean, his last win versus James Vick was an upkick KO. So, I mean, who's doing that anymore?
I do remember that, actually. I do remember that finish because I remember James Vick's head, actually. I remember that finish.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I'm excited for that. And I think Luque is going to get it done. I think he's going to come back off that loss to Wonderboy with a vengeance now. I mean, the division's opened up.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got Colby out of there, out of the way, and just, yeah, okay, you had your title shot. Shut up. Go away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not too convinced that you've got Tyron Woodley, Leon Edwards.
Yeah, me too.
You know, who else is in the division at welterweight?
It's only him and Jorge, maybe Jorge. That's the shot you give. I don't know.
Even with Jorge in there, it's like, going back and looking at it all, right? Like, if we're going to sit there and sort of maybe question Cruz getting a title shot, you know, even get the record and stuff, and then we go and look at someone like don't get me wrong, Jorge's been exciting as hell, and I'm a fan of the dude, always have been, but I mean I'd like to see him one more time, maybe fight someone else, just because I think it's a bad fight for him to take on Usman. So I mean, maybe we get Woodley Jorge or something, you know. I don't know.
I would like to see that. I haven't seen him against, yes, of course, I've seen him against a wrestler, but like, as in, I haven't seen him against an actual MMA wrestler, if that makes sense. Look, yeah. Ben Askren, yes, no, I think the world of him as a grappler, but I mean, like, you know, like an actual person that can wrestle and strike. I think, like, we haven't seen him tested against someone like that in a while. So,
well, that's the thing. I mean, Jorge's been around that long. He's fought everyone. And
of course.
When we were going into the Woodley Usman fight, and again, this is just going a little bit off topic, but. Going the Woodley versus Usman, I just thought, right, I wonder if Usman being the bigger guy, you know, I think he's the better wrestler. I just thought his hands weren't there.
Mm.
And he completely shut Woodley down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I saw some YouTube comments. I saw that someone said, oh, everyone's going to get real upset when Usman 50-45 Masvidal. And I thought, oh, God, I don't want to see that, but it's pretty likely. Usman's a smart dude.
Yeah, he is. He is.
So just to bring it back in, I mean, this fight here for Luque and Price, I mean, it could spell much bigger fights on the horizon. I mean, we could see one of them come up against someone, you know, close
like
to
a number
the top
four
five.
Or five. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, just because they are really fan-friendly. I mean, Luque's a lovely dude too, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Price seems to be real funny, and he's, you know, he's always got some fun haircut going on. He seems to be, his fights are exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever comes out of that is probably going to be sitting pretty in the welterweight division.
No, 100% I agree. I agree on that. And I think, yeah, from top to bottom, it's pretty stacked. I mean, we've probably got, I would say, maybe just under 10 minutes to go. Do you want to go through either the prelims or, like, do you just want to talk shop? Like, how do you kind of want to spend the next couple of minutes? Do you want to talk about, because, I mean, the prelims is the whole card itself, or you want to pick maybe one or two? What do you reckon?
I mean, look, what do you think is going to happen with Cowboy and Pettis?
I think it's going to be the exact same as the first fight. Might not be a kick, but I think Pettis gets it done. I think it's going to be a finish. And the reason why I say that is I think it's just caught up to Cerrone at this time. He's always been a fan favorite, but he's just last couple of fights. As soon as he gets hurt, and it's probably just caught up to him, he just can't recover anymore. He can't recover from a shot. And Pettis can recover. He just gasses. So if I had to look at one or the other, the way they fight, I feel like Pettis will just get it done via a finish. I don't think it's going to be a unanimous decision because I don't think he can go a decision. So I think Pettis will get it done, especially because it's welterweight. I think he gets it done, man. You know,
right.
TKO body shot. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, so you reckon it's the body shot again, huh?
Well, I think it's going to be the body shot because, I mean, Cerrone really – correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he's ever been – head kick knocked out. Like, he's always been hurt to the body or he's been hurt. And then when he crumbles over, you see even with, like, him against Darren Till, he always kind of, as soon as he gets hurt, he doesn't get, like, knocked out flat. He'll just kind of crumble and then they just swarm. I can see Pettis doing that, like, you know, opening up with, like, a leg kick or he's, like, flashy kick and then smacking him in the head. And then it's just he'll just do that. That's what I think is going to happen.
Look, I think for me, this is probably one of the more, you know, we always talk about, oh, these guys are in their twilight years and they just want to do fan-friendly fights and just do things that's going to make them have fun.
Yeah.
I think Cowboy maybe thought that was going to be the Conor fight.
Yes.
And we saw what happened there.
I don't think he got paid that much, man. Like, yes, he got money, but, like, in my head, I was like, oh, you're going to get millions. And I looked, I was like, oh, okay, maybe he got sponsorship, but he didn't get that paid. I was like, I kind of feel bad for him. So I was like, he's probably happy.
Being the company guy, I mean, the UFC probably said to Cowboy, hey, listen, man, we're not going to pay you too much, but we're going to get you fights as often as you want. So it'll balance out, I guess. But, you know, I think that maybe now Cowboy's going to enter that same phase where Pettis now is just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to go in there. He wants to be jumping off the cage and he wants to be licking blood off his gloves. And he just wants the fun fights.
So
I think what we get here is three rounds of just mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see it on the ground. We're going to see it standing. We're going to see it against the cage. We're going to see it in the middle of the cage. It's going to be a fun fight. I think we go to a decision.
Okay.
And I think Cowboy edges him. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say we get to a decision and I think Cowboy gets the nod.
Cowboy gets it done, yeah.
Just, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to go to the ground and do something? I mean, they're both as good as each other as far as I'm concerned.
I think they cancel each other out in that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all surprised about Pettis getting... Look, I'm not going to say he can't get submitted, but he's always been slick off his back. But you saw him when he got submitted against, you know, he was a world-class black belt, but... That surprised me too. I was like, oh, wow, anyone is susceptible to a submission. But I was like, oh, he got caught, man. Mm-hmm. He didn't get caught. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that fight there, I'm glad it's headlining the prelims.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it deserves all the eyes on it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they get it. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll be on ESPN. It'll be free, right? So
yeah,
hopefully they get some money for it, and they get something down the track. I mean, who knows what that is, but there's that. And I don't know, there's a couple prospects on there too. This Bryce Mitchell, and I believe his name's Charles Rosa, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but Bryce Mitchell is the guy that wants the, if I'm not mistaken, he's the guy that wants the camo shorts done by Reebok. Real country dude from the States.
Oh, he had his...
look, and you know...
He had his debut recently. I have probably remember seeing him fight. I remember it. Watching because that real Thug Nasty, place, yeah, it comes up when I saw Thug Nasty. I was like, I've seen him fight once. I don't know if he's just fought once in the UFC, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now he's got looking at his record now, he's fought. So he was on the Ultimate Fighter finale,
mm-hmm.
But recently he fought Matt Sales on the Overeem Rosenstrike card, and he freaking submitted him with a twister. Crazy. And he came out, he was like freaking out, he was all happy. And look, I'm big on the guy. I think he's exciting to watch. I think he's fun. So that's definitely one to watch on there. But, mm-hmm. You know, as you said, man, top to bottom, it's just what a card. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yep.
Other than those people who are in that arena, they get to watch it, whether they're staff or otherwise, they're going to be for a hell of a treat.
100%, man. I think it's going to be stacked in. I always say this on top of the top, but this looks like, well, it's a short year considering everything that's happening, but this is probably the best card that's been put on this for this year. So hopefully it lives up.
Pardon?
Yeah. Hopefully it lives up to expectation, or it happens. But yeah, man, this is crazy. So I can't wait to actually
I think it's gonna live up to it. I mean, there's too many good fighters on this card for it not to live up to its hype. I mean, you just look at that. You look at that main card with guys like Gagey, Ferguson, Cejudo, and Cruz. Mm. They don't do anything other than bring their best foot forward. So you know you're going to be impressed there. And I don't see Cowboy having another performance like he did against Connor. So we're going to get to see three rounds of fun, Cowboy, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So look, I mean, oh, also quick shout out to the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. I love watching her fight.
Yeah, I was gutted for like losing, but she can't be that upset losing to Joan Jacek. Like, she's at that point. It's like, okay, I just need to build off that. But she was actually building herself as well, Karate Hottie. So, mm-hmm. Man, I think that's a fun fight, and it's deserving on that card as well.
For sure, for sure. But other than that, man, any other little side notes you want to make?
Man, I think I'm just going to throw it out there, and I'm just going to say, out of all performances, who do you think, like, everyone's got a fight of the night, but if you just had to pick one fight of the night, what is the fight of the night going to be? Is it going to be in the main card? Is it going to be, like, who do you think is going to be the fight of the night on this card? Anything can happen. Even I'll throw it out. I'll try to look too. But, yeah, I think that's always a good one to kind of see. Who do you think is going to be the
fight? I mean...
it's okay.
Let's make it a little bit easier on ourselves. Let's take the main and co-main. Let's have the two final fight.
Okay.
So looking at the rest of it, I mean, I think performance of the night could be Luque and Price.
Okay.
With obviously the winner being the performance of the night. But, I mean, Cowboy versus Pettis, man, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that's good. I was just going to say, I think that was going to be the fight of the night. Only because, like, I know everyone can end in bloodshed. Tony, you know, whatever, if he does his thing or Gagey, whatever. But, I think you just see on the highlight reel. I feel bad, but, like, yeah, Tony's deserving, isn't it? But you know what I mean? Like, you just see a Pettis head kick or, like, a fucking a Cerrone, like, head kick. Like, I don't know. That, to me, is very exciting to me. So, I think they probably get
it. No, for sure. For sure. I mean, yeah, look, I'm going to say fight of the night will be Cowboy versus Pettis.
Yep.
And, well, again, disregarding
Cummings. Yes. That's okay. Cowboy,
Cowboy and Pettis and Luque and Price.
Uh-huh.
And then I think if Ferguson and Gagey lives up to it, that'll take both probably. I mean,
yeah. Don't you hate that though? You get so many hectic things and it's always like, it's the trump card always wins, right? Like if the main card has a knockout, they're always going to most likely give it to him unless it's a freaking you know, Matrix kick again. So, yeah, I think.
Well, that's just it. That's just it. I mean, so also just I'm not sure if any. I don't even know if you saw it, but so we've got Anthony Smith and Glover Teixeira.
I saw that
a couple of days after this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Walt Harris and Overeem a couple of days after that.
Well, finally, it's going to happen, right? Has it been rebooked two times? And then you got Rosenstrike on the second one? Or they were going to fight something like that, right?
They were meant to fight and then...
The daughter thing happened.
I think Walt Harris had to pull out or something.
Yeah,
his daughter. And then... Yeah, no, then I think his daughter went missing.
Oh, afterwards.
You know.
Yeah.
Such a freaking horrible thing. So then Rosenstrike stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, hold on a second. Just to go back to that Rosenstrike then, was that fight against Overeem on short notice?
Pretty sure it was. Because I think Harris was kind of training for it-ish because he needed money. And then, you know, we found out what happened and then he pulled out. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that was on short notice and
that's even crazier,
Rosenstrike
right?
ended up dying... Yeah, it was a 5-round
minute. He's a heavyweight. Like, they don't go 5 rounds. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. He went 5 rounds with half a training camp with Overeem.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jesus, if that's true. Yeah, because I don't know, but it sounds right because, you know, if you had to pull out, yeah, it sounds right.
Jesus. That's interesting, man. So, yeah, well, you know, look, three fights in 1 week.
Yeah.
Jesus, man, it's gonna be a fun week. We've been waiting a long time, so
I really want to see Anthony Smith to say, John Jones, like, where are you? Like one of those ones. Like, I think he's itching to make a statement. Like, make a performance, tick if that has to happen, and then call out the John Jones or Dominic Reyes, something like that.
Shit. I mean, we've been forgetting about Anthony Smith and all this, huh?
Dominic
Cruz is there. Thiago Santos is there.
Yeah, man. He made a statement after he lost Jones, right? Like, was it Gustafson?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. All
right. Yeah, he beat Gustafson. That's right. Yeah. Jeez, I was just I saw something today as well. Open St. Preux is going up in heavyweight. Going to heavyweight to fight Big Ben Rothwell. Yeah.
Wow.
So look, that's going to be interesting. Get a win over Big Ben Rothwell.
Yeah, man. I think there's definitely a difference. Like, of course, there's been heavyweights, light heavyweights that transitioned, but I think it's a big difference. Like you always hear like the gym things like, oh, John Jones does well against heavyweights, but like there is actually a legitimate heavyweights. So that's like 260 and then you cut that down and then you've got the light heavyweights coming into it. So yeah. Okay.
Nah, who knows, man? Who knows? But look, dude, this has been fun. Hey, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think it's good. We covered some cool stuff and it's getting the reps out, right?
For sure, dude. I mean, we're going to get better at it. And look, it's fun. That's all I can say. And I mean, we're just going to have to keep going at this, man. It's going to be exciting. Because the thing is, every time I speak to you about something, I leave and I think about it some more and I get a new perspective on it. And I'm like, wait a second, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
so it's cool. I mean, we'll have to see what happens. I see you've got the pops there as well. You got GSP and...
Oh yeah. Because I brought it over from the old place. I was like, oh man, I got to start putting at least stuff in the background and stuff. But yeah, man, I think just touching that. But there's so much things we could cover. Many podcasts we listen to or stuff. So it's covering stuff we like. Mm-hmm. So even if it was jumping in from like the card to something like related, doing this type of stuff always helps. So and it gives. You're right. Sure. I came away giving a different perspective and like, oh yeah, I didn't think of the card like that. So it's always cool to get another person's perspective, but I think you're right. We just keep doing the reps and, you know, coming up with, because there's so much events and stuff, so we'll definitely never run out of ideas, but yeah, let's keep it going.
100%, man. It's been real.
All right, man.
See you next time, man.
Catch you next time, bro. All right.
Take it easy, brother. Have a good one.
You too.